It's Thursday, the 2nd of February, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And you join us this quite late in the week, after the Devils game against Belfast on Wednesday. But we're going to look back at a four-point weekend for the Devils in the league before the tight defeat in the first leg of the Challenge Cup to Belfast. We're going to have a little look at your play of the week, obviously, your Armite suggestions. A bit of a chat then around the injury to our captain, Morissette, the impact that'll have on the team in the running before previewing another big weekend of action in Nottingham and home to Manchester, before touching on the Belfast second leg, which came in quick on Wednesday. So, straight away, kicking off with our nemesis, our bogey team of the season, and the terrible, you know, performance we had where we really struggled to score against Nottingham. Oh, it didn't happen. We managed to take advantage of a cup slump that is rivaling our Challenge Cup slump from 2 years ago. And it was just a totally different Nottingham team, Sean, wasn't it?
Yeah, a completely different team turned up. It was silly. We talked before the game about how Micah Wheatman never has a bad game against us. And boy, did he have a bad game against us, thankfully. But we completely dominated, in fairness. I thought at some stage through the middle of the first period, I thought, we've played really well here and not scored. This is going to be our undoing, as it regularly is.
Yeah.
But luckily we turned it around in the last sort of 5 minutes. I think we scored three goals, and I was pleased with that. I thought we deserved a lead like that. The way we played, we were all over Nottingham, absolutely all over them. And the shots that 13-7 don't really show. Well, it's nearly 2-1 and show the dominance on it. So, yeah, good to get that start. Bit of a cagey second. I thought that not getting anything on them again after playing so well was maybe a bit concerning. If they got one early, we might be in a bit of bother. But it was always going to be a win for the Devils the way we were playing, and we eased off a little bit in the third, but managed to grab ourselves another two to make it a 5-0 to repay them for that hammering they gave us a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice to see us go all out to try and match that or better that, but with a long trip up to Fife the following day, and you know, his second game of the weekend, probably a better decision to hold it back. Like you said, I exactly the same in that the concern, you know, almost almost three quarters of the way through the first period, we hadn't managed to get a goal. That'll serve me right for doing maths off the top of my head. Hadn't managed to get a goal, and I was thinking, oh, this is another one of those games where we dominate, don't get on the score sheet, they're going to score a horrible streaky goal in the last couple of minutes, heads will drop, and we'll be back to where we started. But you know, proper momentum shift with Joey Haddad getting the first goal, and then 15 seconds later, the goal was still only just being announced, and Matthew Myers put the Devils 2-0 up. And as Sean said, we'd already run over them, Aaron, but two goals in 15 seconds just seemed to take what little fight they had totally out of them.
Well, literally, Paul, you know, I think to concede two goals in such a short amount of time, it knocked the wind out of anyone's sail. And after that, Nottingham just wanted to see out the period without conceding another one. But as Joey Martin likes to prove people wrong, he scored another one, and we was 3-0 up going into the second period. And the way we, like you guys said, we started, you know, not being able to score, and it could be one of those nights again. We turned around in 5 minutes, and we was 3-0 up. So happy days.
Yeah, and the third period, as you know, we took it easy to an extent, but nice to see a couple of guys who've been out with the goals for a while. Again, Patrick Astling seems to not be producing as much in recent weeks, and then Patrick Bordalo, who'd had another good game, another couple of big hits. You know, definitely, I think he's finally got used to playing the extra minutes that he's doing. Probably hasn't done that for a long time in his career. And you're starting to show dividends with a lot more impactful shifts. Got a really well-deserved goal for his play over the last few weeks. But the thing that surprised me the most was not Bam Bam's winning man of the match. Shutout usually equals man of the match. But the fact that that was the first shutout of the season, Sean, and you know, does point a bit of a finger at where perhaps you know, the reason as to why we're not running away with the league, do you think? Not that we should be running away with it, but why it's so tight, the defensive problems.
Possibly, but I think we've lost more games based on the fact that we haven't... I think we've just lacked goals in some games, and that's, you know, I feel like we've got a couple of underperform, or we did have a couple of underperforming scorers, and, you know, our defensive core isn't entirely defensively minded. We've got a very, very offensive minded defence core. You look at Scott Hotham, Andrew Hotham, Gleeson Fournier, Mark Lewis to an extent loves a rush up the right wing, and your only real stay at home defenseman in that mix is Mark Richardson. So I possibly Josh Batchelor in that mix as well, but likes to switch it up and can play on the wing sometimes. So naturally, I think losing a stalwart, you know, such as Tyson Marsh and adding Scott Hotham, I just feel like our defence is much more mobile and much more offensively minded, and our mentality of the game is purely based on a relentless attack, and that's possibly why we've leaked a few more goals than we'd like, and that's why it was Ben Bounds' first shutout of the year.
A well-deserved shutout, though.
Absolutely, yes.
Some good saves in there when the Devils eased off. Obviously, it did give Nottingham that chance, but you know, looking at the game sheet, Nottingham took 2 minutes through the whole game. A team that goes 3-0 down, you'd expect some sort of spark, people to try and hit. You know, the one penalty was an interference call, and there didn't seem to be anyone. And they were short benched, and can't argue with it. They did bounce back the following night, and I think they put 8 goals on Coventry. So
yeah,
you know, maybe conserving their energy worked out in the long run, but it was definitely a flat performance, and a lot of Panthers fans have travelled. And I don't feel too sorry for them, because the number of times that we've travelled from Nottingham back to Cardiff after a spanking, it's nice for it to be on the other foot for a change.
Yeah.
It's hopefully not happening this weekend. Just, I don't want to jinx anything there. so, yeah, you're not really many talking points in the game. It was probably as one-sided as we'll probably have over at Nottingham for a number of years. Hopefully not, obviously, but it was a nice way to prepare ourselves for the Fife game. We spoke last week around it is a difficult place to go at the best of times. You know, we're expecting a tough game on Saturday night, early morning flight up to Scotland, bit of a bus trip as well. So definitely a risk, but another really strong power play, a game where your special teams turned out well. For my personal opinion, the game was only tight towards the end due to another refereeing masterclass on how not to do it from Pavel Halas. But there you go. We were coming into probably the best, I don't even think probably he's needed the best netminder in the league at the moment, is Shane Owen. And it was always going to take something special to beat him. And on a power play chance, Sean Bentivoglio got the goal where we moved him around, and it was just one of those goals, Sean, where get the goal, you move in, there's not a lot you can do about it, and Benty made no mistake in burying it past him.
Yeah, it was a great finish, passing to the slot from Andrew Hotham to Sean Bentivoglio, and makes a couple of little fakes, and Owen goes down, and it's an easy finish for Sean Bentivoglio. But as you said it took something special to beat him. I think it maybe took something a bit special from Shane Owen to beat himself as well for our second goal.
As I said it, I thought it was. short-handed as well. So Fife on the power play, and Shane Owen manages to get himself in a proper muddle behind the net. Puck bounces forward, and Joey Martin just sits there in the slot and thinks, oh, I'd better pop the puck in the net then, hadn't I?
I think the pass came from Andrew Lord, actually.
Of course, Lord did have the puck on the...
The pressure was on Lord. He could have just fired it in, but Martin was...
Yes.
Directly in a more direct angle of the net, so easily banked in.
Yeah, you're not going to see many forwards passing when they're on the crease with the goalie somewhere behind them, but Andrew Lord did to give him credit. And like you said, then things just got a bit silly in the third period. some strange calls. I think, again, as with the Braehead game, it wasn't that we were being picked on. We did have the rough end of the stick, the way it fell. I think Fife had 3 5-on-3s, I think it worked out as in the end, in one stage or another, which
I lost count.
In a game that didn't seem at all ill-tempered, Sean, penalties started appearing, and you just think, let the game flow, and it definitely contributed to the goal, but Chris Wands, with an absolute bullet, got Fife right back in the game.
Yeah, what a bullet from Chris Wands. I just want to point out that you talk about letting the game flow and all that sort of thing. There was 3 penalties in the game the previous night against Nottingham from referee Jan Schmeichel. And then we went however many penalties there were. I think it was 11 penalties in total. Which, given how often we were down to 3 men, it was just staggering. I will say that I think that the Hawthorn brothers are really, really disliked in Scotland, because they always take horrendous amounts of penalties in Scotland. And Andrew Hawthorn is a very irate character, great player, but if you rub him up the wrong way, and you're going to get a penalty out of him. And it just always seems to happen in Scotland. And with a referee as amateur as Pavel Hallas, how he's a referee, I'm baffled by you. And the performance in Braehead from him is up there with the worst performances I've ever seen a referee give. So, actually, I think he had a good game in Fife, by comparison.
Yes, yeah, if you're using it as a barometer. So, if you've set the bar that low, then it's like our podcast.
Yeah.
We set the bar consistently low, and we're usually around average for our standards.
Probably the best way to put it, yeah. Good show.
It was 8 power plays in the end that Fife ended up with having, and Devils managed to stop all of them, which, you know, says a lot about the special teams, that the shift they were putting in, obviously, you know, fewer players getting ice time, so there'd have been a lot of tired bodies at the end of that game, no doubt. But a massive win, and really big to take 4 points, first time in a while that we've had back-to-back wins, you know, in consecutive nights, and important given that Belfast also took a 4-point weekend in their doubleheader in Sheffield. Something I don't think many people would have seen coming. Sheffield not taking any points, but I think overall probably say it worked out well for us. We've not lost anything to Belfast and gained 4 points on Sheffield in a weekend, so that's never going to be a bad thing, I don't think. But just shows how important that win was. We a loss there, which it was more than possible in the third that game, could have got away from a game that we were comfortable at the end of the second. Regulation last week, we'd have been off the top of the league. So, yeah, massive. sorry. And then we had the Challenge Cup on Wednesday night. Aaron, Sean could make that game, but sort of the reverse of most of the games we've had this season, where we start slow and then claw our way back in the third. We came out hard, came out fast, 2 good periods, and contrived to throw it away in the third. But the biggest talking point of the game probably happened before it even started in the anthem. What was your take on the Derek Walster going for a wander about a third of the way through the anthem?
It was literally... But I watched a lot of live rugby, football, only 3 seasons of hockey, so I'm not as knowledgeable as you guys, but... In all, even on TV, in all the sporting activities I've seen, that was the most disrespectful thing I've ever witnessed. It was absolutely pathetic. How can you have the balls just to skate around halfway through the national anthem and think it's all right? Is absolutely unbelievable. But another thing that bugged me about it is that we... It was a real decision, big time. He had 3,000 people on the end of his rod because everyone started booing him, and I just wish we finished the anthem. But I just thought, you know, he's a coach. He deals a lot with respect, and I just think he lost a lot of respect from the majority of the league. And I've even heard some of his own fans talk about him in a bad way. So it was just absolutely pathetic. I couldn't believe it. Disgusting.
I couldn't put it any different. And it's not, I think a lot of people assumed it was in the collective pause for breath we all have before the chorus of the anthem, where everyone always starts to clap. But it was about halfway through the verse, and you know, he's come out, he's apologised, which, you know, is the end of it, but he said he didn't realise it was mid-sentence, and he carried on skating afterwards. If it was a genuine mistake, just go back in the line, take your helmet back off, and show a bit of respect for the rest of the anthem. But, yeah, it was credit to Dean Smith for getting the call right, for calling the misconduct. It, you know, is a penalty. A lot of Dells fans commented on the fact that I think Hilton Ruggles had it twice in consecutive games way back in the Welsh National Ice Rink days, and probably the last time it was called in the league, I'd imagine. So, you know, a massive talking point. You've really got the crowd fired up. And Devils came out, just played some really good hockey from there. Got a power play opportunity, and Lane Olmer, you know, got the goal with Derek Walters still sitting in the bin. He hadn't managed to get back out following... following his misconduct. So, you know, two defensemen sitting in the bin whilst Giants were killing a power play. And, you know, Omer from Hotham Martin made him pay for it. And then Gleeson Fournier doubled the lead 5 minutes later. And we were really sitting pretty, I felt, Aaron. It was, it was obviously only the first period of six, so the game wasn't done. But we were looking comfortable. But Colin Shields pops up on the power play to really get them back into it.
Yeah, like you said, Paul, for the first period, I thought we were a better team, and we went two games with not on 9 penalty kills and didn't concede one. The first one, Giants get, and they slotted in, and typical that Derek Walser gets an assist on it, and he made sure we all knew about that. But, you know, I was happy going into the first intermission with a goal lead against the Giants. You know, they're behind us in the league, and we know if anything, they're a really good team. So, yeah.
Yeah, and second period carried on in much the same vein. It was, wasn't an ill-tempered game, but there were quite a few flashpoints in there. So in the second period, David Bryan taking two for roughing along with Boxall, and Brian looked like he was ready to drop him and go, which is the first time I've seen that from him this season. In the first, you had Mark Lewis going after, I can't remember who it was who threw the hit onto Matthew Myers.
Blair Riley?
No, it wasn't.
It was Myers got hit, and Riley jumped onto Fournier got hit. Riley jumped onto Fournier, but Mark Lewis pretty much cross-checked someone to the head. I think it might be Martinelli. But, you know, little flashpoints of that happened through the game, but it wasn't, you know, a massively dirty game. You know, not a lot of penalties called in those first two periods. Guy Doucette got a bit of a streaky goal, and, you know, hopefully that'll get him back in form. It's been a while since he scored. You know, Sean mentioned we've had scorers out of touch in your guys like Homer and Benty. But Doucette has equally gone back into another one of his dry spells. I'm pretty sure last time he came out of a dry spell, Sean, it was a bit of a, you know, it wasn't a wonder goal that he scored to start him back on his way, but, you know.
No, I think it was a greasy one in Sheffield, actually.
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah, so, mate, you know, hopefully the same thing will happen again, and you'll have that scoring touch back and be going. But Giants pulled it back again less than 2 minutes later. Chris Higgins taking advantage of a bit of a defensive mix-up on a breakout, and it worked Ben Bounds sideways and slotted it through the five hole. Before one of our favourite types of goal happened, it was practically shorthanded anyway, due to the penalty expiring just a second before. But Joey Martin with a buzzer beater after racing up the ice in a matter of seconds and just managing to bury the puck past whistle with literally a second left on the clock, I think the replay showed. And that was the highlight of the night. That's where things peaked. We should have just finished the game after two periods and said to Belfast, we'll play four periods next week over there. We'll give them an extra period on home ice.
Didn't they do that for when they missed overtime once? for a Capitals game over there. They played the 5 minutes of overtime the following night.
Yeah,
they did. It was the same.
Yeah, we should have just said there's no third period in this team. No third period.
Yeah, no, not in semi-finals. You don't do third periods. God, what do you guys know? and so I've said not many penalties in the first two periods. End of the second saw the Giants having quite a large moan at Dean Smith. And for one reason or another, the way the game was reffed changed totally in the third period, and some soft calls were called on both teams, to be fair, but it just seemed to see a lot of players in and out of the bin. I think almost half the penalties called in the game were called in that third period from looking at the game sheet. And Colin Shields got his second of the night, just 4.5 minutes in. Giants capitalised on that and got a second less than 2 minutes later and tied the game up. And from there, really looked as if the Devils were done. I don't know if you agree, Aaron, but I didn't think we played really poorly in the third. I thought we got lax defensively. But even though we weren't playing well, I just couldn't see us coming out of that game. And was, from the time Benedict equalised, I was thinking 4-4 at the end of this, I'll be happy with.
Yeah, definitely, Paul. I couldn't agree with him more. Like, literally, you know, I genuinely, throughout the whole game, I do think we was the better team. You know, we had the more good chances, we created more, you know, we played our hockey, and it was really unfortunate that we made two silly little errors and let them back in the game. And like you said, if we finished our game at 4-4, I would have been really happy. But Jim Vandermeer scored a power play goal after Lord taking quite a silly penalty, and we got to go up there now and win by a goal or two goals or more, which is a tough ask in Belfast.
It's worth noting as well, just before Colin Shields got the third goal for Belfast, Sean Bentivoglio had a great chance one-on-one after a great bit of work on whistle and didn't bury it. And I just feel at 5-2, we could have put the whole tie to bed there early on in the third period. Didn't happen. As you said, Aaron, a penalty on Andrew Lord with just over a minute and a half left. He'd been held on the boards by Martinelli, and Lord got quite irate with it. I know you've watched it back, Sean. Sort of felt that a soft penalty, even you're taking the emotion of the game out of it.
Yeah, to an extent. I think a lot there was a lot of fans agreed that, I think it was Martinelli, didn't get called for anything, but I think there were far, far worse things not called in that game. Judging from the highlights, I think there's a really bad hook on Andrew Hotham at one stage in the third, which I feel, looking at the highlights, should have been called. But yeah, that sort of thing, especially at that stage of a game, you know, emotions are high, you've lost your lead, you're not doing anything overly dirty to... I just don't think it was that bad of a penalty. I don't think either team should have got a penalty on that one, but yeah, them's the breaks.
Yeah, and I think it sums up the way that the team saw that third period as being referee, given that both Andrew Hoffman from the Devils and Derek Walter from the Giants both took what I assume were 10-minute penalties. Derek Walter got a game on the game sheet, but obviously it would have been his second 10 of the game. But yeah, and there were calls both ways, especially in that third period, that would have led both teams to be unhappy. Not just, you know, again, another game where we talk about the refereeing. Interesting, you know, Derek Walter has nicely rounded off the game sheet with a misconduct penalty at 0 minutes and at 60 minutes. So I wonder if anyone's ever managed to do that without...
Well, at least he's consistent.
Yeah, start as you mean to go on. So yeah, and as Aaron has said, that we've got, you know, a big deficit to overcome now on Wednesday when we go to Belfast. But looking at it in terms of the season as a whole, from my point of view, the Devils are not going to be going to Belfast with great expectations if we were a goal or two up. So if we lose, it's probably not going to be massively damaging mentally. But if we can overturn that, just what is 10 days before the 9 days before the doubleheader weekend. Mm. So, you know, psychologically, I think there's not a lot of damage that can be done unless we got a tune in. But to overturn a one-goal deficit in Belfast would set us up really nicely for that weekend. And yes, I am clutching at straws and trying to draw positives from it. So that was the weekend and the week, which means we need to choose a player of the week. Aaron, who gets your vote?
Just purely for his unassisted goal. And even though he's a great player and he plays great every week and he's the best player in the league, just because of how beautiful that unassisted goal buzzer beater, I'm going to go with Joey Martin. You know, he skates around two guys and slots it home on Jackson Whistle, and he's a great goalie in himself, and it didn't give us the boost we needed, but it could have, and it was just a fantastic goal, and I thought he played well all week, so yeah, I'm going to go with Joey. He was fantastic.
Sean, who's having your votes?
I'm going to go with Patrick Baudelaire. I think it was really good to see him get on the score sheet against Nottingham, and I feel like we don't really give Baudelaire the credit that he deserves, because he does have a lot of talent, and he is on that third line, fourth line unit, which goes out there to bang bodies, but he does it so well and brings such a massive part to our roster, and to see him get on the score sheet when he does make some nice little flicks and some good passes, play makes a little bit when he's in the zone on his line, and I just feel like it was really, really good to see him get on the score sheet with an unassisted goal as well, and reward his hard work. So I'm going to go with Patrick Baudelaire.
Yeah, two good picks. I think they're both good. I think there were a couple of other players. Yeah, as he has done all season, I think Joey Haddad's played really well. But it's Joey Martin gets my vote and gets player of the week. A goal in all the games, a goal and assist in five, so you know, a hand in every goal there, and a buzzer beating goal. I think pretty much if you score one of those, you're probably going to get player of the week from me, because they're just so much fun. I love them. So congratulations to Joey Martin, a well deserved player of the week. And now it's time for your thoughts. And Sean has the Rahmite suggestions that we've had this week.
I do. Thank you very much for everyone for getting involved in Rahmite. Bit of a hiatus of such last week. I think we were all a bit...
Sulking is the word you're looking for.
A bit sulky was the word, yeah, that I'm trying to look for. Yeah. Okay. So first up, we have Jonathan Williams said our number 33 closing the door and being the cornerstone to two huge wins against Nottingham and Fife, only allowing one goal over the course of the weekend. We also had a couple of bits and pieces, just trying to go through. We had Colin Knight, who said, loves a four-point weekend, hate or more dislike your mate, meaning myself, Pavel Halas. No love lost there between Colin and Pavel Halas, as we experienced in Brayhead. Derek Farr said he hated that the webcast kept freezing. Very disappointing for the fans down in South Wales. I think that's in relation to the Fife game.
And I've got an issue. Fife fans don't like me, but I didn't have any problems with their webcast. I did think it was
No, I thought it was awesome. Much better. I thought it was very good. Crystal clear. Chris Smart said one thing that grinds his gears is that Ice Arena Wales only has one till in the cafe. # madness. A bit of a off-the-cuff rhyme right there, not really into the ice hockey, but always good to hear Christopher Smart's thoughts. Haley at Solace 84 said, I loved it when McGrattan tried to bump her dad and just bounced off of him and fell over. Tony Dickett said he loved the Steelers losing, but hated the Giants winning in their doubleheader. Ben Millard said he loved a four-point weekend, but hated Fife ruining Bouncey's two-night shutout. Matt Millard, I believe, rounded us off by saying that he loves that Ulmer is proving the doubters wrong and that Patrick Baudelaire scored. So that is all of the Rahmites for this week. Thank you very much.
And on the whole, what a happy bunch we were. Not a lot of hates in there.
I will say we didn't plug Rahmite after last night's game.
That's true, because we were a bit sulky. There is a pattern for them here. I think we need to learn how to schedule tweets, so whether we win or lose, we get that tweet sent out there, because, yeah, we don't lose him very well as a group.
Yeah, I think it went downhill when we lost Belfast in overtime after that Chris Higgins winner, and I think it was John Smith in Belfast sent me a gif of the goal. So I think that's where we stopped. We stopped asking for it after losses because we were all really sulking and had that one response when we tried to plug it.
Yes. Yeah, that was... yes, yeah. We may or may not plug it. We're not going to lose again, so who cares? yeah, it's not like me. The one thing to note from the week, obviously, Guillaume Doucet had been dropped the previous weekend, possibly due to form. This weekend, sorry. But on Wednesday, it was Jake Morissette that sat out. But there's a lot of rumours. There's a lot being said that he's injured. I think a few people have said that he's been seen on crutches. He was on the bench without them, as far as I could see, on Wednesday. But from various people on Twitter and social media, so I've seen anything quoted from 6 to 10 weeks, which you've got to think is probably going to put him out for the season in that case. You're 6 weeks, you possibly see him back. But any longer, you're probably going to struggle to get him back into the lineup. A big loss. I think probably hasn't performed as well as he had done early on, and you know, I sort of thought possibly due to an injury, which may or may not be related to why he's out now. Obviously, losing your captain at any stage is tough, Sean, but you know, he's going to be a big loss, but we've also lose that ability now to rest players unless we see another signing come in.
Yeah, as you said, it's always going to hurt your team to lose your captain. What could you say about Morissette? From what you hear, he's the ultimate pro. Is a great captain, great in the locker room. I'd imagine he's still going to be around on every single game and trying to do his best to support Coach Lord as we, you know, go down the stretch. And I think he'll be instrumental in trying to get the guys up for that. On the playing side of it, you lose a guy who was your go-to penalty shot guy. You look at the victory we had in Braid last week, and it was partly down to Jake Morissette. Not maybe had his best year, but when we've needed him to, he's come up with something big, and in the shootout, he always comes up with something big, and that's a massive loss to us. And just his work, I think his work rate is generally just exceptional, and it's an example that he sets for everybody, and to lose that in a team that we're going to have to work so hard in the last sort of 6-7 weeks of the year, because we want to win a title. We want to win titles. And to not have that energy and that sort of that example to follow is a big loss. But I also think that it'll force our hand into making an addition. And I really hope it does, because I think that we needed it going down the stretch in any case. Now that we've lost our captain, I really feel that we need to make an addition and have that ability, as you said, to rest someone if there's a niggle, or to sit someone out if they're not performing, and sort of get Lord on the bench when we need him. And I really think that we do need that ability. And yeah, sad to see him. If it is the case, sad to see him out for the year. And hope we get him back as soon as and when he feels ready.
Definitely, and I think potentially even from Ben Bounds' point of view, he's probably going to be facing at least another 3 or 4 shots a game. Of ones that would have been drawn to Morissette's shins, body, face, or whatever else he manages to block shots with. And obviously a lot of time on penalty kill as well. Aaron, are you in agreement with Sean that, you know, if the injury is as feared, that a new signing should come in to see us through to the stretch?
Even before the injury, I think we needed the extra guy anyway, so... I definitely think we need to make an addition. A guy with a little bit of experience, knows what he's doing, knows how to work out the stretch, and, you know, a different opinion could help us massively if we can take someone else's incept. So it's really sad to see Jake if he is injured, but I'm sure we'll pick someone up fantastic like we've done the last 2 years, and they've practically been difference makers, so see what happens.
I think interesting to say about the new signing. I agreed, I'm not convinced we would have got one. I think, you know, with Lord in, we were running an import over anyway. I'm not convinced there would have been, and I'm not convinced we would have seen someone else, but I do think now that it's definitely more likely, and I agree with you both, that I think it's needed. I think someone that can come in and have that bit of a spark, a bit of input. And conversely, I think Andrew Lord has probably proved us quite wrong since he's gone back on the ice. We've talked a lot about how we felt we needed a bench coach more than we needed Lord on the ice, but he's been outstanding since he came back. He has been the difference in a couple of games. But I think having, if Morissette's going to be on the bench regularly, having that second pair of eyes alongside Jamie Elson, it's almost, you know, you've got your captain on there. Obviously, he's played with Lord for a long time, so they're going to have similar ways of thinking. You know, they're close off the ice, so hopefully that can be a secondary benefit to the team as well, that we've got those two guys, and you know, maybe whatever Elson does when Lord's on the bench, Morissette can pick that up, so they can split the role as they would do, Sean.
Yeah, for sure. I think that Morissette, as you said, has been very close with Lord for a number of years. I think they played in college together or at some sort of level, and they know each other back to front, I think, is the best way of putting it. And they are both must have similar attitudes towards the game, and ultimately that will help. I think we do need that second pair of eyes to get us over the line, and Morissette will bring that, and hopefully just to motivate guys, I think it's really important to have that sort of figure on the bench. And you see Lord when he's doing it, and I'm sure we'll see the same from Jake Morissette.
Definitely. So, you know, obviously wish Jake all the best in whatever recovery is to come. And obviously we'll keep our eyes peeled for any news on that as it comes out of the Devils camp. So looking ahead to the weekend, and I'm going to talk personally, I'm not convinced I've ever looking forward to a weekend, playing a team that we beat 5-0 the prior weekend, and being so worried about that game coming up, because as you said, Nottingham scored 8 goals on Sunday against Coventry. They're not going to be as bad as they were on Saturday night. It's going to be a tough one, Sean.
Yeah, it really is. And Nottingham is a tough place to go. We haven't had any success there this year. We've got 2 games going forward to ideally we need to win it if we want to progress and go through to win the league title. So it's a massive test for us. They're going to want to bounce back, get a bit of revenge, and it's just a tough building to go and win in. They play so well in front of their own fans, and yeah, long story short, it's going to be a battle, that's for sure.
And looking like a big crowd in Nottingham already, they've announced, so I think they're down to less than 1,000 tickets left, so it's you know, going to be a packed National Ice Arena as well, Motor Point Arena as we probably should now call it. A tough game, but you know, one that Devils probably need to look to win, both in terms of just the points and the fact we've got another game coming up against them the following week at home, and then the following week away again. A lot of games in short time against them.
Yeah, you know, I think the way we played against them on Saturday proves that we can beat them, and as long as we stick to our game plan and play our hockey, I don't think they come close to stopping us. But, you know, they're going to have guys back from injury, so that's going to prove a bigger problem. And like you said, they're in front of their home crowd, so like us, we thrive in front of that. So it's going to be a difficult game, and but if we can win it, you know, it puts us in good stead to get another 4 points off down the road 2 weeks after. And hopefully we can win and extend our lead at the top of the table against Sheffield and Belfast, because, you know, that's what's most important. Like, games like this is where we need to win points and not drop any. So if we can do that, even if it's in overtime, I'll take that. Just win, please win. Win.
Just win. Yeah, I would be happy with just winning. The goal machine, Brian McGrattan, will need to be watched. He got another couple of goals on Sunday, and
I will say, Paul, I think you probably could have scored them.
I've not watched the highlights. They weren't...
Watching from the highlights, I think you're probably going to score them. You know, he does really well to get in the positions he does and uses his size well, but in terms of quality, I genuinely think that you could have scored them and you can't skate.
Oh, thank you, Sean. That's the nicest thing you've ever said about me. Which says so much about our relationship.
I didn't realise we were in a relationship. This is news to me.
Oh, well, live on air. Sean, we're in a relationship. Oh, how lovely. Oh, that's like such a lovely moment. A nice bit of romance. Oh, Aaron, sorry. You're the third wheel. We've been trying to let you know for some time.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah, that's that. And Sunday, Manchester coming to Cardiff, and if we lose out close in the league this year, that game against Manchester just before Christmas is the one. I still think we'll look back on. I hope it would be, because I'm hoping we don't have another one on Sunday night. You know, they are a good team. They've been causing problems to most teams this year. I think they've beaten just about everybody. I know they've not managed it over Sheffield yet. But a tough game, and you're potentially a tired team, Sean, if you're not going to turn up and give us the tough game that we always expected, Nottingham.
Yeah, this is where our four lines are going to really have to come to the forefront. We're playing a four-line team in Nottingham and Manchester. They're going to have the travel day on Sunday. Admittedly, it's not the complete opposite end of the earth, but we own one. We've got to be good against Manchester on Barn. These are the games where you either win or lose a title. It's all well and good beating the best teams and the big teams, but if you beat the big teams all year and don't beat the smaller teams, you ain't going to win your diddly squat. And this is where we need to bounce back against teams like that and show why we're genuine title contenders.
Yeah, definitely. It's time you make sure you get those points on the board when they're there. And before our next show, there's going to be a third game for the Devils as well. We travel over the water, as we discussed, to take on Giants in that second leg, which, you know, we've obviously talked to quite some degree. The game is being shown in Shooters Bar in Cardiff on the big screen, so you know, there'll be a fair continued Devils fans. So if you're not flying over, which would be, I would be surprised if there's people flying over 9 days before the doubleheader. But congratulations if you are, you're good work.
Or you're just on a very, very long doubleheader.
Yeah, just power through. Just support whoever Belfast happens to be playing in the games in between. Pop down to the Odyssey and cheer on anyone who they're playing. I think they've got Edinburgh and Dundee, I feel like, it's this weekend off the top of my head.
I believe so, yeah.
So, you're probably not going to get a lot of joy cheering on who Belfast are playing this weekend, to be honest. I think they're probably looking at they'll be hoping to take a 4-point weekend, obviously, but I think that's probably where the sensible money would be as well. So that's what we've got coming up. We'll be back next week after the second leg, probably Thursday night. Yet again, we may or may not ask for Rahmites. Send them anyway. We just send them, but if we're sulking, you may not get asked. So do please try and remember, because we can't be trusted. You know, we're far too flaky for that sort of thing.
I expect this is where the guys from A View from the Bridge are going to send us about 9, or maybe do our tweeting for us if it goes the wrong way.
Yeah, they'll start asking for our suggestions, which, yeah, I am a shameless publicist when I'm not sulking, so if they want to do that, that's absolutely fine. Well, I think that's everything that we were going to cover. So, Sean, now, unless there's anything else from either of you?
Nope.
So all that's left to say is thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, please let us know your thoughts. But for now, that is your Red Army Roundup. The Devon side, every single one of us.